Welcome to Christchurch Manchester Sermon Podcast. CCM is one church that meets every Sunday in various locations across Manchester. For more information about who we are or about our Sunday meetings, please visit www.christchurchmanchester.com. My home is not on this
earth, not in this world. We have been in our Connect series, and we have been basically, the Connect series is three mini series tackling three different questions. One, how does God connect with us? So how does God connect with us? And Colin actually spoke on the first time that God connects with us through Jesus. Andy Armstrong spoke, who leads our Gorton site. He spoke about how God connects to us through the presence of the Holy Spirit. Then we had Tunde come and speak to us, who is leading and serving at CCM Lady Barn, and he spoke about how God connects to us through the church, through one another. Last week I brought a message on how God connects to us through Scripture, and spoke about how God speaks to his people. He speaks broadly through all that he's created and through our created consciousness. It says that the law is written on our hearts, in our created consciousness. He speaks to us broadly, but then he also speaks to us personally and uniquely through Scripture, through the Word of God. Okay, and so today we're kind of shifting gears. We've kind of finished our first mini-series and entering into our second one, which is how then do we connect with God? Okay, so we've heard about how God can connect to us, but now how can we connect in with him? And we're basically, the way that it's worked out is that I was speaking last week, I'm speaking this week, but last week was on how God speaks through Scripture, and this way it's about us responding, and also through speaking. Actually, we're going to be talking about how we respond to God through prayer. You may remember from last week that I announced the idea of God creating us so that we could enjoy friendship with him, that we are the image bearers of God. We're bearing God's image and his likeness, that we have the ability to think and to love and to hear so that we could enjoy genuine, authentic affection and friendship with God in an authentic and two-way relationship. That this was never meant to be God just speaking and it hitting like a brick wall, but that there would be a genuine, authentic relationship, that God wants friendship with us. And to promote this idea, I read this quote that I've been reading again over the last week, and I just think it's such an amazing quote. It's from a guy called J.I. Packer in a book called God Has Spoken. And so to promote this idea of friendship between man and God, he says this: the relationship between God and man is not like that between a man and his dog, but like that of a father to his child or husband to his wife. Loving friendship between two persons has no ulterior motive. It is an end in itself. And this is God's end in the Bible. He speaks to us simply to fulfill the purpose for which we were made. That is to bring into being a relationship in which he is a friend to us and we to him. He finding his joy in giving us gifts, and we finding our joy in giving him thanks. I just think it's an amazing quote. I've been reading it and thinking, what does that mean? And just praying into that and wrestling with it. But God's friendship with us begins and grows through speech. It's his revelation to us, his divine speech towards us, and ours is to him in prayer and in praise. We've been speaking to God as we've been praising God this morning, declaring the truths of God. We've been praising him and singing it, and that's one way that we connect him with God. But I'm not going to go too much into that, because next week Andy Wisdom will be sharing about that. But this afternoon we're going to look at how prayer connects us to God. Now, I'm aware that if you've been a Christian for any length of time, that you will have heard a lot of messages and a lot of sermons on prayer, and that you may have been in study groups or Bible studies or small groups, community groups, and you've been tackling prayer. What does it mean to pray? How to pray? What are the components of prayer? What's the importance of prayer? Now, all of these are good, but I have to admit that from my experience, the majority of the outcomes that come from those kinds of meetings have been that we can leave those kinds of meetings often feeling fairly guilty and ashamed. Okay, and both of these things, guilt and being feeling ashamed, they kind of pull us away from God. They don't. I've never found them really to drive me more to God. Okay, and so I'm going to try really, really hard today for this message not to kind of result in guilt being birthed or shame emerging at all. That is not the purpose of what I'm going to do. But what I am going to do is to speak on prayer, and not just speak on prayer, but I actually want us to pray. I'm not sure, there's loads of different types of learners. I was a teacher for a little while, and whenever you're preparing you're preparing a subject or you're preparing a lesson, you have to be aware that there are different learning styles in a room. Now, the way that I learn best is by doing. That's just the way I've done it. Phil, you're the same, yeah? Good. Let's just do it. Who feels like that? That's their learning style. I learn best by doing. Bev, you're not really sure, are you? Just kind of like,
In comparison to seeing or hearing.
Seeing, audibly, hearing, tactile, group work, things like that. I believe the best method. So I really believe that the best method for learning how to pray is to actually pray. Okay? It's great to talk about God, but it's even better to talk to God. Okay, so what we're going to do is we're going to go through some bits that I've seen in Scripture, some things that have been on my heart this week, and then what I'd love us to do is to actually pray. And I'll explain how that's going to look. So as we go through this, don't be afraid. I said to Jake, we're going to do something a little bit different. He's like, yeah, cool, okay, so I'm glad you're in. But yeah, just be thinking, like, this is leading towards something. Okay, so that's the first thing, is that I don't want us to be feeling guilty or ashamed. Second thing is that we have to understand about prayer is that in a world absolutely jam-packed with noise, yeah? In a world that's absolutely suffocated by noise, not just noise that our ears can hear, but just noise after noise, level after level, like you, in a world that's suffocated by noise, God is able to hear our prayers. Yeah, we have to understand that God is able to hear our prayers. Psalm 8, verse 3 to 4, this is King David. He says, When I look to the stars, when I consider all of the handiwork of God, when I look at this, he says, what is man that you would be mindful of him? And King David doesn't have all of the information that we have right now about stars and the roar of the cosmos and all of the noise and the decibels that are sort of flying. They were just like these little lights are on the ceiling for us. They were just like twinkling lights in the sky. Okay, he wasn't fully aware, but what he was aware of, he was like, God, how can you be mindful of us? Our communication with God does not get drowned out by the noise of the universe or the billions and billions and billions of people who are speaking to God right now. God's ear is tuned into the sound of his children. We've got to know that God is able to hear our prayers. Okay, so that's the first thing. God is able to hear our prayers. Second thing is that God, and this really changed the way I thought about prayer. When I understood this, and actually it was a pastor that came to me and taught me this, God actually wants to hear from us. Like there's a want inside of God, in the character of God, to relate, to have relationship with his children, yeah, to hear from us. One of the differences, there are millions and millions and millions of differences between our heavenly father and earthly fathers, but one is that God doesn't get exhausted by the sound of his children. God just doesn't get exhausted by the sound of his children coming to him, okay? These are some of the things that you things you'd hear God, Heavenly Father, say. He says things like, come to me. Hey, let's spend time together. Hang out with me. Heavenly Father says things like, how are you doing? He'd say things like, say that again. Say that again. Oh, that was it. Say that again to me. What did you say? Say that again to me. He says things like, draw near to me. These are the things that our Heavenly Father says to us. Earthly fathers, okay? Earthly fathers, as good as they might be, and I am a father, and I've done this, so I'm not speaking as one who's from the outside looking in and pointing and wagging my finger at all the earthly fathers. I've done this, okay? Things like, be quiet. Just stop interrupting me. Just leave me alone for a minute. Quit nagging me. Yeah? Or what a silly thing to say. I mean, Naomi can't really say anything at the moment, so it's all a little bit silly. But, you know, what a silly thing to say. Or, I'm too busy. I'm too busy. These are things that we would never hear our Heavenly Father say. God wants to hear from his children. Every single book of the Bible, all 66 books of the Bible, they echo the heart of our Father in heaven. They echo this. They say, come, let's hang out together. So we're going to read a few. Just so you know, I'm not making this up. I'm not just kind of shooting it from the hip. We've got a couple of them up here. So Psalm 34:17. When the righteous cry out for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. Psalm 18:6. In my distress I called upon the Lord. To my God I cried for help. From his temple he heard my voice, and my cry to him reached his ears. Jeremiah 29:12. Just a bit of context on Jeremiah 29. This is the people of God are in real rebellion against God at this moment. Okay? So, you know, when Naomi's in rebellion with me, I can kind of just like ignore her and just not want to listen to her, not want to speak to her. But this is what God says. This is the grace of God. He says, then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. Jeremiah 33:3. Call to me and I will answer you and tell you great and hidden things that you have not known. James 4:2. You desire and do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. Just a few verses later, James says in chapter 4:8, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Matthew 11:28, which for me is just one of the most staggering verses in the entire Bible. This is just so scandalous. No other religion gives this invitation. Yeah? Every other religion says you've got to fix yourself, you've got to follow these rules, you've got to do these things, and then you can come in. Every other religion says this. This is scandalous to every other religion in the entire earth. Matthew 11:28. Jesus says, come to me. Come to me, all who are labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come to me. Have you ever hung out with people who are exhausted and heavy laden? Yeah? They ain't exactly the funnest people to be around. Yeah? Who are, do you know, you've been to a party and you're just like, hey, how you doing? Yeah, I'm okay. I'm all right, I suppose. You know, it's been a hard week. I mean, it just, you know. Or, you know, oh, yeah, hey, there's some ice cream cake. I'm lactose intolerant. I can't do this. I'm like, oh, gosh, okay. Brilliant. You know, it's kind of like, you know, if you invite people to a party, those who are labour and heavy laden kind of go down the pecking order, don't they? That's not Jesus' heart. He says, all of you who labour and are heavy laden, come to me. If you are feeling full of anxiety, if you are feeling full of frustration, if you are exhausted mentally, emotionally, if you are in those places, Jesus says, come to me and I will give you rest. Philippians 4:6-7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Hebrews 4:16. Let us then, with confidence, draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. All of these verses, yeah, and we could have picked others. We could have scrapped these ones and drew another 10 in, and then scrapped those ones and drew another 15 in, and then scrapped those ones and put another 20 in. We could have chosen. But all of these verses, and every page of the Bible, every book of the Bible, they say that we are welcomed, they say that we are wanted, and they say that we are heard by God. And because of that, we can boldly approach God in confidence when we pray. When we want to communicate to Him, we can come to Him in confidence, because it's not our righteousness. Yeah, we haven't done anything that merits Him to say, okay, now I will listen to you. You're dressed the right way. You're saying the right words. You're in the right crowd. It's the right time. It's not our righteousness. It's Christ's righteousness in us that qualifies us to be able to come with such confidence. Okay, so the second thing we need to understand. The first thing we need to understand is that God is able to hear us when we pray. The second bit is that He wants to hear from us. Okay, but the fourth thing I want to just say about prayer that I've learned through the years is that one, it's just multi-level. I actually want us to do a series on prayer. I'd love to do a full series on prayer and different kinds of prayer, intercession, prayer as well. I'd love to do that. But that's not what I'm going to talk about now. But one of the things I've learned about prayer is that it's okay to ask for a bit of help. Yeah? It's okay to ask for help. In a world where actually asking for help is actually a sign of weakness, often. Yeah, because the world kind of tells us that we should have everything together, that we should have everything figured out, that actually if I'm in university, this is the career trajectory I'm going to be on. Or if I'm just about to, you know, have a child, that this is how it's all going to be, and this is what I've got to have. And we're supposed to have it all figured out, yeah? And the world tells us that actually we shouldn't be asking for help. It's, you know, you can obtain knowledge and know it all, but we can't ask for help. But that's not what Scripture tells us. It's specifically about prayer, okay? After spending time with Jesus, the disciples have been hanging out with Him. They've been having meals together. They've been going on ministry with Him. Yeah, they've had one-on-one time. They've had small group time. They've been spending time with Jesus. The disciples turn around at one point and they ask what could be perceived as a bit of a silly question. Okay, at some point, they just turn around to Jesus and they say, "Hey, teach us how to pray. Teach us how to pray." Jesus doesn't say, "Hey, have you not been paying attention to me? Have you not been listening to a single word I've been saying? Have you not seen anything?" He doesn't say anything like that. He doesn't rebuke them. He doesn't come down harshly on them. He just gently and lovingly says, "Yeah, okay." And He teaches them. I think that's a real sign of authentic friendship. We talked about friendship, but I think that's a sign of authentic friendship when we can ask people how they do something, and then they follow it up by teaching us. Okay, one of the things I love about, I joked about it earlier, one of the things that I love about our gatherings here at CCM Winnershaw is the food, actually. We have cracking food. We do. You're laughing out. We've had cracking food. I think we're going to have brilliant food, Beverly. I think it's going to be fantastic. But we've had great food. We have homemade food after the meeting, and we enjoy that, and we enjoy the company that gives us. We have homemade cakes, and as we've just had some cake today, even as I'm munching through this, I'm thinking things, oh, what's in this? How do you make this? And so often, maybe it was a couple of weeks ago, Beverly made something, and I said, oh, what's in this? Okay, what's in this cake? I said, how do you make this? Yeah, and then I just, oh, you'll have to teach me. I'd love to know how to do this. Okay, and if we can do that about cake, well then, I think that's it's okay to ask that about things like prayer. Because that's the attitude the disciples had when they were asking Jesus to teach them how to pray. What is this? How do you do it? And can you show me? Can you teach me? And Jesus responded in Matthew 6, verses 9 to 13. So if you've got your Bible, can you just open to Matthew 6, verses 9 to 13? If you don't have a Bible, there's one there, and we've got a couple over here. Does anyone need one just while we're... Anyone, Kingston? You good?
You're good.
All right. Cool. Matthew 6, chapter 6, verse 9 to 13. Jesus, in response to this question, he teaches how to pray. He says, verse 9, pray then like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. What Jesus is not saying there is like, these are the exact words. If you want to connect with God, there are certain words that you need to say that will make God hear you. We know that that's not the case, because language is multi-layered. I'm married to Luciani, whose native language is Portuguese. Okay, the words that we just read in English are different in Portuguese. They're different in other languages. And so there is not a prescription of words in order for God, for us to connect with God and to get his ear. But no, what this prayer shows us is that there are two pillars in prayer. Okay, pillars as in like concrete pillars, not bed pillars. When I was sharing this with Lucy earlier, she thought I was talking about bed pillars. I said pillows. Pillows, darling. But being up in the north, you can say, oh, pass me a pillar. Two pillars in this prayer. Okay? One is titled praise, and one is titled petition. Praise and petition. And our prayers, what Jesus is showing in this, is that our prayers can bounce between the two. Okay, as we communicate with God, as we talk with God, as we share our heart with God, as we pray His word, our prayers, they bounce between praise, giving thanks, and petition, asking for requests. But that they should both lead us down into confession. They lead us to confession because we become aware of our sin and our rebellion against God when we see God for who He really is. As we see God for who He really is, we most clearly see who we are before Him. This is why it's not healthy or helpful for us to compare ourselves to one another and to the people around us, because there's only two outcomes if we start comparing ourselves to one another. There's either an outcome of pride, I'm much better than them. Oh, yes, I'm certain. Have you seen what they put on Facebook? Oh, I'm a far better person than them. You know, oh, far better. At least pride. Or it can lead to disappointment and jealousy. Okay? I really actually just say that I think social media has got, you know, is something we've got to be very aware of in this. The enemy will try to speak to us about our identity when we're on social media, because we can just quickly see, oh, we don't really know the backstory. So, in this prayer, Jesus is showing us that there are two pillars, praise and petition, that our prayers bounce between them and lead us into confession. So in teaching the disciples how to pray and how to connect with God, Jesus, as I was asking the question before about what's in this cake, yeah, Jesus in this prayer cake, couldn't think of anything cooler than a prayer cake, but there you go. In this prayer cake, he says there's several ingredients. He says one is praise, two is petition, so praise, thanks, petition, request, three is confession. But I do think there's a fourth one, which is kind of like the cherry on the top, okay? The final ingredient is authenticity. When Jesus said, pray then like this. Yeah? The response from the disciples was not, whoa, hang on a minute. I've never heard you do it like that. I've never heard you say those kinds of things. That's not what we've seen you do. They didn't say that because the way that Jesus responded to their question was real. And as he taught them with the same attitude and motivation and appetite that he had always demonstrated when he was speaking with his Father. They were able to say, ah, okay, now we understand. That's what you've been modelling. That's what you've been doing. And so our prayers, our communication with God, includes praise, giving thanks, includes petition, asking things of God. It includes confession, and it includes being real with God, okay? So we're going to shift gear in a minute from talking about God to actually talking to God. One of the ways that I really learned how to pray, when I wasn't really sure how to pray, what to do, the first pastor I had in my life, he just said, just pray the Bible. Just pray the Bible. I was like, what do you mean, pray the Bible? You read the Bible. You don't pray the Bible. You say the Bible. You don't pray the Bible. Because this is one of the real gifts of the Word of God. It's a real gift to you, to me, to every Christian, is that not only is the primary way that God speaks to us through the Bible, but that it also gives us the very words that we can then pray back to God. Yeah, and we're called to pray in line with God's will. Sometimes we're like, well, what is God's will? Well, we can pray, as we pray the words of the Bible back to God, we're also praying the will of God back to him too. Okay, so one of the things that I found helpful is there's a podcast by a guy called David Platt. It's called Radical. It's literally called Pray the Word. And each morning, about 4 or 5 minutes, he picks a verse from Scripture. Okay, he goes through a whole book. He picks a couple of verses, says them, tells you what they are, and then he prays them. Okay? Then he prays them. So it'd be like, Our Father in heaven, thank you, Father, that I get to call you Father. Thank you that you are ours. You're not just mine. You are personal to me, but you are collective as well. And you pray, he teaches, and I just listen to it, and that kind of sinks into me on how I can pray. So when we pray the Word, when we pray the Bible, we're praying the very words of God and the will of God back to him, okay? And as we do that, one, the benefit is that we get to know our Bible, we get to know the voice of God, we get to know Scripture, but two, as we're doing this, and we know that this is the words of God, and we know that this is the will of God, our confidence and our boldness and everything in us grows in prayer. So that means that we can take, if that's true, and I believe it is, we can take any text of Scripture. We can take any text of Scripture, we can look at it, we can read it, we can consider a few things, and then we can pray. We can look at it, we can read it, we can consider a few things, and then we can pray. So I think I've got another slide just to demonstrate this. So we can take a piece of Scripture. We can take a piece of Scripture. We can look at it. We can read it. We can consider some things. What are the things we're considering? We can say, what does this say about God? What does this say about me? What does this say about my situation right now? What does this say about my previous experiences? What does this say about my hopes and my dreams? What does this say about the things that have been said over me? We can consider some things, and then we can pray. We can either pray, we can confess in prayer. Lord, this is not real right now for me. This is not a situation that I'm comfortable in. You need to help me on this. Or we can pray to God, thank you, God, that this is true, not only of you, but in my life. We can petition God, Lord, I want this. I want this. I'm not sure how it's going to happen, but you've got, I want this level of faith to be in my life. And we can pray it in petition. So that's what we're going to do. Okay, give an example how we do it. Jude 21. Okay, it says, Jude 21. Jude is a small book just before the end of Revelation. So in Jude, there's only one chapter. So Jude 21 says, keep yourselves in the love of God. So this is an example. In a minute, we're going to do something together. But this says, Jude 21 says, keep yourself in the love of God. We can look at it, keep yourself in the love of God. Read it. I read it a few times just to get it back into my heart, get it into my eye. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Keep yourself in the love. And then I said, well, am I in the love of God right now? Is all of my life in the love of God right now? What does this tell me about God? What does this tell me about love? What does this tell me about the things that stop me to do that? I'm considering these things as I'm looking at it. And then I'm literally like, Lord God, thank you. Thank you that love comes from you. Thank you that true love comes from you. I praise you for love. I praise you that I get to know and experience love. Father, I confess that I do not always keep myself in your love, that I am so prone to being distracted. I'm so prone to being distracted on to the right and to the left, that my eyes wander, my affections wander. Help me. I don't want this to be I don't want this to be the testimony of my life. Lord, help me. By your Spirit, would you help me keep myself in you? Would you help me hear your voice amongst all the voices of this world? Would you help me keep in step with you? Would you stop me from running too fast? And as we do this, we are praying God's word back to him and praying his will back to him, and it is growing us. Okay? So that's one way. So I wanted us to do that, actually. I'd love us to just get into two groups. I want to pick one piece of scripture. I'd just love us to look at it. I'd love us to read it. I'd love us to consider a couple of things. And I'd love us to pray. So we're going to take Psalm 23. Okay? Psalm 23.